Everyone, welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. The vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer a lot of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people I knew on Facebook went ahead and told me, you know what, we just post stuff because we think it's fun, it doesn't have to be right, so take your stupid logic and real answers and just go somewhere else and play, because that's the way that we're going to play with Facebook, because that's the right way to do it. And not your way, because it's wrong. This also kind of started up as a, well, way of trying to figure out what's worthwhile. In this case, following the idea that the journey is far more important than the destination. I'm known to shoot and triple all over the place. You can find me very easy with a Google search. And wow, I did that recently, and it's amazing how many places you can find me, even if you spell it wrong. I was born into a Roman Catholic household in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently live outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Welcome. Joining me on tonight's show, and we'll explain about that in a couple of moments, is Dallin.
Good evening, folks. Online, I go by the alias of Dallin. Born in a town in northern Canada, raised in a Lutheran household, but with a bit of a twist. As I was growing up, my parents never really took religion that seriously. Instead, encouraged me to keep an open mind, always ask questions, and never under any circumstances stop learning. As I moved from the small town to the big city, the culture shock was staggering, to say the least, as I was introduced to several other religions and faiths. And as I continued my journey, to me, again, religion was never a big contentious issue, until I started watching what fundamentalism was doing to our world, and that is when I said enough is enough, and threw in on the side of rationality, non-belief, and above all, humanity. And that's why I'm here tonight.
Also, Unknown Tech.
Hi, folks. I was raised in a mixed religious background. Catholicism one side, Judaism on the other. Practiced both for a while, studied several different religions, finally got down to brass tacks and realized it's all bullshit. And here, you know, just as proof, here's a nice piece of bacon and a nice piece of cheese. And look, I didn't get struck by lightning.
I've been drinking alcohol most of the night.
You people should try this. And by you people, I mean you people.
Tech, next. remind me to send you my recipe for haram burgers.
Sounds good.
Oh yeah,
more pork in it, right?
Lots.
Don't get me started on Muslim Minecraft again.
No.
Well, actually, it's your job anyway. Cool.
I thought it was cool. Anyway.
Also, good evening, Joseph.
Good evening. Name's Joseph. Born in Chicago, Illinois, as a Roman Catholic. Currently living in, well, served 8 years in the military. Currently living in Pittsburgh as a atheist and a graphic designer. Which is funny sometimes.
Yes, it can be. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, let's just say that the people that I work with, they're not always appreciative of my sometimes satirical and snide productions.
You know, a lot of the great artists through history have suffered the same accusation, so I think you're actually on the right career path.
It's just that they prefer to remain accredited, and in order to do so, they really want to try to avoid pissing anybody off.
So no Jesus crack babies?
I don't know. All of a sudden, all I'm thinking of is Joey, there, you at graduation. Maybe you have to give a speech or something. You're going to lean down the mic. No, I'm just saying, you're going to lean down the microphone and go, wait till they get a load of me.
Well, that is why it's a degree in the science of graphic design. It's visual communications. It's not art.
I would love to see you do a graphical representation of the debate of or not the debate, but the statements that Dawkins gave on Twitter about aborting fetuses that have been declared to have Down syndrome, and the apeshit nature of way Twitter responded to it.
Wait.
When all he was doing was reaffirming that millions of women already make this decision, that it's already backed up by facts and statements and historical numbers.
Okay, I was about to say, I was trying to make sure that wasn't the same person that I was thinking of before.
Well, I'd love to see a graphical comic strip of that.
Okay. While you go looking that up, first off, of course, everybody, welcome to the show. It is currently August 24th. It is the day after my daughter's 12th birthday, but get back to that in a couple of seconds. Tonight is another one of those Power of 10 shows, so this is episode XXX, and if you don't get the idea, this is not safe for work. There's a reason for it.
Because we might say shit, damn, or fuck.
Amongst
shit, piss, fuck, gun, cock, sucker, motherfucker, tits. Out of the way.
We are expecting, we're hoping, Witchy Bunny will be joining us in a little bit. She's had a little bit of an entry permit issue that we're hoping we'll fix. Don't worry, that's just the way it's going to be. So, what I decided on for the show back when it started up was that I wanted to have a show that was somewhere between the scathing atheist, the amazing atheist, the thinking atheist, the friendly atheist. I wanted us to have a show that would really encompass the in-between for all of these guys who admittedly may not necessarily be considered the fringe element, but they've got their niches, and some of them are more acerbic than others. And for some of them, it works. For some, maybe not always so much. But the point of the show was that we would actually take the middle ground of everything, not necessarily that we would acquiesce to everybody else's point of view, so much as our point of view is all of the color, all of the nuance, all of the shading, all of the shades of gray in between where the question ends and where an answer begins.
We're very friendly and accepting here.
Yeah, we are. But the point of it is, ultimately, I wanted to have a show where we would be able to come through whatever it is that we discuss, and everybody would be able to say, even the folks that are watching, be able to say, you know what, I don't agree. But I like what you had to say, and I will think about what you said. I may not end up agreeing with you later, but I'll think about it. The 10 episodes are the ones where we finally just kick back and say, we're not here to go ahead and discuss and try to make nice. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about stuff that has been sitting on the backside because we want to have an opportunity where we can cut loose. The guys over at Scathing Atheist, Cognitive Dissonance, the Amazing Atheist, they go out there and they will drop whatever language bombs they want. But we normally don't. Until you get here, when we basically say, fuck it all. If you don't like what we've got to say, there are 90% of what we put out there is for people who don't want to listen to us curse up a motherfucking storm.
Yeah, I'm usually the one to blame for that.
Don't worry about it. When Cash was here, we blame him. By the way, Cash, fuck you too, dude. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about shit tonight that is intended to piss you off, because we end up getting pissed off enough with a lot of different things, and we're going to take it out on you tonight. So if you don't want to be putting up with that, now is your opportunity to go ahead and say, you know what, let's go to the next video. Because like I said, 90% of the stuff what we do is a PG, maybe a light R rating. You know what? You don't want to listen to us curse up a storm? Go watch the episode with Sam Mulder. Seriously. I don't know what episode it was. It doesn't much matter. Can You See Me is the episode name, I think. See Me, Hear Me, whatever the fuck. It doesn't matter.
That was the atheist the visibility movement, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
It was arguably one of my favorite episodes right now.
That was fun.
Say what again, motherfucker?
Should have another one named Are You There, God? It's Me, blank.
Yeah, we may end up doing something like that in the near future. But real quickly, normally this part of the show, I would go ahead and I would talk through a little something. I don't really have very much of anything, but I will give this. As I said, yesterday was Tiny Dribbles, my daughter's 12th birthday. And a very long, strange 12 years it has been. A lot of things have changed in all that time. She was born. I learned what it means to be the custodian of a new life, how to teach it, how to cope with loss, how to deal with so many things, and a lot of it from being a single parent. One of my absolute most favorite things was being told by Tiny Tribble's first grade teacher, please stop teaching her long division in first grade. Let us get down short division first before you move on. As far as I'm concerned, that means I'm doing a good job. It means that she's doing a good job because she got it. And even to this day, and I'm going to see about having her on next week, I hope. I really hope. I'm going to be working towards that. I want her to be a good person when all is said and done. And if that means that she ends up later coming to me and saying, Dad, I'm a Mormon. Okay, you know what? I don't agree with that. But if I've given her the opportunity to really learn, to think on her own, to examine, and ultimately to come to her own conclusions, there's nothing that I can do about that because it's her decision. It's her life to follow, and it's what she has determined for herself is worthwhile. I know full well that from Twitter just a little while ago, Jake Farwharton over there in Australia. By the way, Jake, hi. Thank you. Jake was on with us a while ago, and he has kids of his own, daughters. And you know, I'm speaking specifically to you, Jake. You know full well that it is tough trying to juggle all of what goes into being in a marriage and being a father and juggling all those pieces professionally. And I know full well you work on a lot of stuff and, you know, good on you. But for those of us that are trying really hard to be good parents, no matter single or double, mixed race, mixed marriage, mixed company, however you want to look at it, single, double, doesn't matter. Our job is as custodians of these new lives. Children are people who have simply not learned as much as we have yet. They don't have the experience, and that's really ultimately the only difference. We're the custodians of these lives, and we need to make sure that we teach them the best that we possibly can. Not to make a carbon copy of any one person, but to make an amalgamation of all that we know that's good. We may not all agree on what that qualifies as. After all, the skinheads and the Ku Klux Klan and the Muslim Brotherhood will all have different things that they think is good. Ultimately, teaching someone how to look up an answer for themselves, to me, is one of the greatest goods. Don't just have the answer yourself. Look it up. Do the investigation and come to your own conclusion once you've seen what's out there. We don't have to be cookie cutters. But if we give everyone the opportunity to find out for themselves properly, then maybe we as custodians have done the right job. But of course, as Jake will know full well, we're not going to know if we've done the job right until they're gone and out of the house. And then it's too late. I can only hope that we do well for our little ones and that it's worthwhile. So now that we've got that out of the way, I'm not sure where we want to start. I'm going to start, however, by saying, guys, people, Facebook acquaintances.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to name names. It's someone that I've known for a good portion of my life. If you're going to post something because you have a political bend that you want to put out there, please post something that at least will not take me 5 seconds of Googling to discredit. Seriously. I've known you a long, long-ass time. You want to go ahead and you want to rag on somebody who is up top in the stratospheres of politics? Pick something that isn't so blatantly easy to discredit. I had somebody who posted up a thing about, here's a letter that was posted by a first grade, second grade, fourth grade teacher that cost them their job, that's pissing off the president. Let's see. What's the name that's attributed on this at the end? Blah, blah. Highlight. Right click. Google search. Oh, look at that. Snopes is like the third link on here. Let's see what it... Oh, discredited? Imagine that. Really?
Yeah.
Just why? Just fucking why? You're better than that. Unless, of course, you're not, in which case, you know what? You don't deserve to have a Facebook account. Go stand on the corner. You can yell and scream with the other guy with a placard on his chest saying, "The end is nigh." Or is that...
I like Rorschach.
If you're a Mr. Ed fan, it might be "The end is nay."
Oh boy.
You know what? I was gonna say the whole little line. You know what? Fuck you too.
Yeah. It's funny how you go around saying that because we had Dr. Peter Boghossian up here upwards of about a year ago. And the one thing he kind of said was, okay, if you want to come to the table and have your have a discussion, have a debate, have a exchange of ideas, no problem. But the second you start bringing religion into it, back to the kiddie table you go. And it's kind of like the same thing you just said there. If you're gonna be stupid about it, get off the technology and save the bandwidth for those of us that actually know how to use it.
Set them all on fire.
Yes.
I think we tried that once, the failed experiment in Salem.
Lots and lots of napalm.
Napalm, the gasoline you can chew.
Yeah. By the way, a couple of messages are ready.
The Guinness of petroleum products.
Great.
Your gum line is so clean. What do you do? Well, doctor, I floss, I brush, and I gargle napalm.
I'll do it every time for you. By the way, Captain Runway, no, we are on. I'm assuming that you can actually see us at this point. So, hi.
Yes, if you can't see us, you're doing it the wrong way, which apparently is your thing. So.
Yes. And Jake, we'll get to you. We'll get to your question over there in just a couple of moments. And by the way, whatever that paper is that you're working on, good luck on it. And Joe, since you were so ready to go ahead and chime in first for this whole thing, go ahead. What do you want to piss people off with so far?
Gun control.
No, I already did that.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
I know. I was there. Remember? He was holding up the rifle.
I'm just trying to figure out something to piss people off with that I haven't already pissed them off with, and I'm running out of ideas.
I got a facepalm moment.
Well, why don't you talk about masturbation?
Because that's between me and myself.
That's a facepalm moment, isn't it?
That's between me and myself.
You know, that is such a loaded question.
Don't knock
in more ways than one.
Wait. Woody Allen here. Don't knock masturbation. It's sex with somebody I love.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know, if you lay on your arm and get to go numb, it feels like somebody else.
Don't believe that one. It doesn't work out well. Not to mention, you might give somebody, blood clots. Dallin, just get to going away.
Yeah, do something, Dallin.
All right. Okay. This one hit me earlier this week. I'll preface it a little bit. I'm following Seth Andrews' Thinking Atheist web page on Facebook.
Who most of us like, by the way. Hi, yeah. Seth. And, join us sometime, please, maybe?
Yes. I would totally fanboy that. Actually, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want him to think I'm some kind of rabid fanboy. Anyway, so he posts this thing. Actually, I also got him on Twitter, and he posted this link to his Facebook page. I'm like, okay, I got to check this out. So I go to check it out. And it's a poster for something that is admittedly very woo. Now, normally I can brush it off. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, some other crackpot, yada yada, witch doctor, voodoo thing, whatever, is going to try to push their shit. Then I found out where this seminar is being held. Normally, I come to this show so that I can bask in my wonderful, flawless, spotless Canadianosity. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I can no longer do that because of this. If you're having trouble reading it, I will elaborate. Learn how to communicate with animals with Mary J. Getton and M.J. Barrett, Ph.D. Keep that in mind, Ph.D. That means, theoretically, this person is a learned individual. Has gone to some kind of post-secondary school, has a piece of paper that says, I'm smart.
May I read this?
You want to read this, Joe?
Yes, please.
You know, as I often say, I'm a giver. Go for it.
Oh, baby, I love it when you talk dirty.
Yeah.
Mind-to-mind, telepathic communication with animals is a skill that you can learn. It will increase the bond and understanding between you and your pets and other animals, help you deal with behavior problems, and address important issues. Do you want to know what animals want or need? Why not ask them directly? Find the joy and communion that comes from reconnecting the link with other species in this workshop. The animal communication presentation. You took the thing down. I can't read it anymore.
Oh, sorry. There.
Shh. Whenever you start laughing too hard, it goes to your camera instead of his. Oh, wait. That's right. I've got direct control over this. The animal communication. Hey, I'm still new to this thing. The animal communication presentation and workshop is the start of a research program examining how communication with animals may help contribute to a deeper appreciation and affinity for the environment and greater environmental sustainability. It is part of Dr. M.J. Barrett's larger research program examining how indigenous and other ways of knowing can be recognized, valued, and establish their place as legitimate forms of knowledge in academic and modern Western contexts. Participants in this course will be invited to contribute to this research project. For more information, contact Dr. M.J. Barrett at mj.barrett@usasc.ca. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Jake, please tell me this is satirical.
No, we'll find out in a second. Jake is now asking, and rightfully so, because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Dallin, do we have any idea just what the PhD happens to be in?
If you guys will give me just a few seconds, I can get this information for you.
Yeah, because if it's in home economics, I won't be surprised at this point.
Tech, I think you're overestimating it. I'm not kidding.
So
I caught a
book. It's in home economics. It's liberal arts.
Home economics can be useful.
Yeah.
This is true.
Okay. Well, liberal arts can be useful too.
I got it.
Okay.
This is again.
Please don't tell me she's a mathematician.
I will tell you once I can get to it.
Wow, somebody's got a pissy pants on today, don't they?
No, somebody's out of booze, okay? Anyways.
That pisses
off. Oh, guess what I have. I have plenty of that.
You have bacon too, so screw off. Anyways.
Bacon, alcohol, okay. Cheese.
I went back. I'm setting the source here, Jake. The source was, of course, Seth Andrews' Facebook page, The Thinking Atheist. Go like it. The cherry on top, this Mary J. Getten, PhD, is a, oh God, do I have to say this? Flower essence practitioner, having completed the program offered at, and he's not making this up, the Flower Essence Society in Nevada City, California.
Wait, so there's a PhD in potpourri?
Apparently.
This does not answer the question.
Don't you have to be like a chemist to do that?
The worst part of this is the only time potpourri would actually become important is if you're on Jeopardy, for great sake.
Yeah, so we all know what happened with Weird Al on that one.
Actually, no, his mind went blank.
Yeah. Holy mother of God, seriously?
Apparently this lady's mind was always blank. Because you can, how the hell do you go, oh, I have a PhD in potpourri. I can talk with horses. What the fuck kind of drugs are you on?
Wait a minute. Dallin, take a look through this and let me know. This person has got a PhD in flowers. Is there anything on this thing that says about talking and communicating instead humans to, I don't know, bees, perhaps? Butterflies?
Okay. I'll take it a step further. I've seen people who claim to be able to talk to their plants.
You know, my mother never said word one to any of the plants in my house. But goddamn it, if we didn't have a lot of fucking plants in the house. All she did, she fed them, she watered them, and that was it. And I remember watching her when I was a kid, feeding them and watering them every other day. And the house was nice and green. She never had to talk to them. Okay. Now.
I'm glad to see I'm not the only one with some dead brain cells from that experience.
This is fucking
Holy crap. I have gone one step further. I found the website, this lady's website.
Oh, did you now?
Oh, God.
Yes, I did. Because. Oh, man. Because, again, I am a giver. I am a bit of a news hound. At least I want to be.
You tell.
Okay. I'm not gonna share this one here because there's a lot to read. And, yeah. I will give you some Cole's notes here.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because of what Jake typed. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, you're right, Jake. This is not botany. But no. Just hear this out, okay? So about Mary. Began studying telepathic animal communication in 1988 with another person, and since that time has completed numerous courses with a variety of teachers, including Jerry Ryan. I don't think we're talking 7 of 9 here.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Carol Gurney and Dorothy McLean. I would love to see some follow-up on those individuals.
Okay, wait a second. When did you say this started? 86?
88.
88. Okay. The reason why I'm kind of swearing a little bit is because this sounded vaguely familiar, so I went looking up for IMDb. Ghostbusters was 1984. So now I'm kind of wondering if maybe the whole idea of telecommunication might have been inspired by the real crap throwaway lines and it's
I get a better idea. Hit up IMDb and find out when The Beastmaster came out. The original with Mark Singer.
Oh, my.
Sorry, this is like two steps away from that, all right? Yeah. Oh, and also check out, also look for the Horse Whisperer.
Oh, God. Okay. Beastmaster was 82.
Okay. Yeah, it was a Robert Redford movie.
It was 98.
Okay, so apparently movie references, we're kind of squeaking here. Okay. Unless it was a B-movie that, you know, maybe you watched while high or something.
B.
I got one.
Yeah, go, Joe. Go ahead, what do you got?
I did experience something that this week that made me a little...
Just get to it.
Are any of you familiar with... No. Are any of you familiar with this young lady who identifies herself as Femitheist Divine?
Nope.
She is a young lady, a video blogger, who, well, she made a video.
Good for her.
Identifying herself as the center of a new religion, essentially, that she's come up with. And okay. She is calling to all the untrue feminists out there to come over to her side. And her idea let me finish.
I just want to verify, you're saying a new religion, right?
Well, actually, the word she used was cult.
Okay.
Wait.
She used the word cult?
Yes. Okay.
Well, proceed. You have to be specific. You have to be specific like this. You can't say religion when you mean cult.
Let him finish.
Now, she has created this word, femi-theist, which, if you break it down, feminine, divinity, that kind of shit. Her
fantastic
game plan, her idea for improving the world over the course of like the next 10 years or whatever. I watched the video once. I really don't want to watch it again to get the details down straight. But her idea is to reduce the male population to 10% globally.
What?
Mm-hmm. And she is calling for support on this.
So what? She wants this, what, My Little Pony matriarchy type system or something? Or Amazon?
Apparently.
I wish I had seen one too many science fiction movies where the male population was decimated by viruses and the women were forced to reproduce via in vitro fertilization and artificial insemination, all that fun stuff.
Am I able to do screen share with a video?
I don't know.
Shall we play it?
Well, theoretically you should be able to, but I don't believe that the audio would come through. If you want to give it a shot, the worst that can happen is it fails.
Well, while he's loading up the audio, I just had a thought because I was watching I saw a little poster picture on Facebook, and you know how there's a saying about how you can't cook a lamb or a piece of meat in the milk of the mother animal? Well, if that's not allowed, why is it okay to take chicken breast and smother it in the egg, which is the embryonic fluid of the unborn child?
Are y'all seeing...
So it's not okay to cook a kid and a mother, but the mother and the kid is just fine.
And you've just put me off chicken for the rest of the week. Thanks.
Are y'all seeing the video?
Hey, eggs, liquid chicken. I see old lady.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of, yeah, It's flickering really, really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting like a quarter of a second every... four, if okay. That.
So far, the only positive about that is she has a nice smile.
The funny part of it is that the creep factor right now is going up the back of my neck because it's kind of reminding me of Freddy as you're ending up with like no power at Five Nights at Freddy. If you haven't looked it up yet, Five Nights at Freddy, look it up with Markiplier. You're welcome.
Well, here's the link.
Yeah, let's toss the link up. And let's
there's the link. And I can't put it into Q&A for everybody to see because for some reason I don't have access to post my own stuff on the Q&A for now.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take the link. Hold on a second. I'll take the link, and I will drop it over into the event page over on Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching us over there, you'll be able to see it. If you're watching on YouTube, I believe it will also show up for you over there. Oh, I can't promise it, though.
There's a... Oh, that's how. I don't do screen share. There's a little thing for it dedicated for YouTube stuff.
Yes. However, we have not done that yet, and we're not going to be installing any new stuff right now.
Okay.
So, can I have a shot at redeeming my Canadianosity and try a screenshot since I do have, like, mad bandwidth here?
I don't know. You can try.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
But, you know, she goes on with this idea of hers. And, of course, also closes out with the oh-so-typical, you can't stop us. There's no way you can, so you might as well not even try. We're going to win.
Okay, it's the same shit. I guess it's just not... That YouTube plugin, though, I'd be interested to try that at some point.
She's essentially her demeanor comes off as a what's the word I'm looking for? Popular girl, popular high school girl meets Ingrid Newkirk.
Okay.
She's the head of PETA. If you've ever seen some of her shit.
Ah, did not get that. So we've got somebody who is basically trying to create every 70s trope sci-fi post-apocalyptic movie scenario.
She looks like she belongs in one. She looks straight up Stetford.
Great.
I was just going through some of the comments after the video, and it's, yeah.
You know, I actually didn't look at those. I probably should.
There are a couple of gems in there, that's for sure. There's one guy down there. Basically, his thought is, okay, reduce the male population 10%. That just means that he would actually most likely finally get laid, at least from to look at him talk.
Brilliant.
There's another guy says, I would love to be the remaining 10%. Just think of all the pussy. And then someone else says, you will be the first to be purged. Yeah, okay.
We'll figure it out from there. So, Tech, here's your big opportunity to shine, my friend.
Let me get my flashlight.
No, just so long as you don't end up falling asleep, I'll be happy, okay? You're welcome.
I still say, Tech, underneath your title there, underneath your name, you should actually just put The Sleeping Atheist, because that is gold.
I might actually change that. For those of you who missed it, there was an episode where we actually had a special guest, and I fell asleep during the vlog just because, you know, I was doing very little interactions. I had my son for that weekend. He had me running around like crazy, just, you know, I spend as much time as I can with him. And so, you know, I started to pass out, and apparently I went complete full-on snore buzzsaw. If you go back and check it, it's funny, guys. It really is. Yeah. But it also shows you, you know, what happens when you have a kid. You know, you revolve around them. And... I wouldn't have it any other way, but it definitely makes for some interesting situations, and I can definitely laugh at myself when it happens. I resolved not to do that anymore, which is why I really wish Pepsi would call me so that I could start endorsing their caffeinated products, one in particular that I've shown before, because it works really, really well. So anyway, on to something that really pissed me off in the past 7 days, and... for those of you who follow the news about international problems, such as diseases, more specifically the Ebola virus, Dr. Kent, what's his last name? Brantley, has been declared cured of the Ebola virus. Now, mind you, this man was medevaced into the United States of America from another country where Ebola is running rampant, and he's killed over I think it's already topped over 1,100 people. Last I checked, though, it was definitely over 1,000. Ebola is particularly nasty. Most people who think of Ebola think of red blotches and blood oozing out of eyeballs and things like that. And that actually happens, but in a very small amount of people who contract Ebola. For the most part, what happens is a lot of people have nasty stuff, like they can't stay hydrated because the cells involved with all that are getting destroyed, lots of constant diarrhea and whatnot. So basically, to possibly survive Ebola, you have to be in relatively good health before you get it. Then you have to constantly be given fluids, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, condensed and as often and as fast as possible to keep your strength off while your body fights off this virus, which even then you still might not survive. There's no guaranteed way to beat Ebola. Now, there was an experimental cure. And it was decided that two people should receive the experimental cure. I forget what the woman's name was, mostly because they've been focusing on Dr. Brantley here, because he was the first in, first to receive it, if memory serves me correctly. Both are healthy and out of the hospital, is my understanding. Dr. Brantley made the news, of course, because my understanding was that when the lady got out of the hospital, the first thing she told the press was she just wanted to go home and spend time with her family and rest. And you know what? I can't blame her for that one bit, considering what she's been through. I couldn't blame Dr. Brantley that him either if that's what he had done. Instead, though, when he got out of the hospital, mind you, we're talking about hundreds of people who were working around the clock with these people, with these two patients. We're talking about Dr. Brantley having a fleet of doctors and scientists and nurses and special top-of-the-notch facilities in the country.
Not to mention the flying, flying ambulance that came to pick him up.
Yeah. Exactly. It basically a pod that he was stored in so he could be safely transported to the U.S. and not contaminate other people. We're talking about top-of-the-line stuff that the President of the United States, that he was given that kind of treatment. They both were. They were given the kind of treatment you would expect to give the President of the United States or even a member of Congress, although I'd say just, you know, export them. But so anyway, when he gets out of the hospital, Dr. Brantley called his recovery a miraculous day, in quotes. "I am thrilled to be alive, be well, and reunited with my family," he said. He also told a news conference at Emory Hospital that God saved my life. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you sideways with a broken broomstick. I don't care if you went around and personally thanked every doctor and nurse. The second you got on the news and said, "God saved my life," you basically told all those people, "Fuck you."
And of course,
and you are a bad person.
Yes, and how many people have gotten the virus before and after who are looking at a, depending as to which number you go by, 65% to 90% mortality rate.
Yeah, because they're in another country where they don't have the level of technology that we do. Do you know what happened to me over the weekend? I was at my local pool with my son, just him and I. He was swimming around, having a great time. I'm soaking up the rays, having a good time. And there is a gentleman who has he's constantly on and off his cell phone. He's it turns out he's a grandfather, but he's also a doctor. And he came to the U.S., took some vacation time, and came to the U.S. because he's maintaining contact in Washington, D.C. I told you guys I live in Maryland, southern Maryland. It's a hop, skip, and a jump to Washington, D.C. from here. And he was in town spending time with his grandchildren. At the same time, he was collaborating with other doctors about the Ebola cure, the potential cure. And he was on the phone left and right next to me, you know, not caring who overheard his conversation. And he was talking about, you know, how long would it, trying to find timelines to how long there would be to obtaining samples of the blood that has the antibodies and everything else in it. And he's just, you know, doing all these calls. He's talking to people's answering machines. He's talking to people's assistants. He's talking to the doctors directly. I mean, he's naming names. Some of them I've even heard of. He's obviously knows people. He's obviously knows deep in this stuff. Now I'm trying to not pay attention to details because I don't know. I have my own security clearance at work, and I know there's things about my job I would just never talk about because, you know, that's what I agreed to. Right. And I have no idea what he is or is not allowed to talk about. But at one point, he was off the phone, and we did. He actually made some comment to me. I forget what it was. It was something about the kids. We were talking about the kids for a little while there. And then I said, you know, hey, dude, I couldn't help but overhear you talking about Ebola. And, you know, it is really nasty, but I had a thought. And, you know, you were talking about trying to get serums out as fast as possible. Well, my own personal experience as an O positive blood donor is that I'm the universal donor blood type. And, you know, if one of those two patients was O positive or you can get a sample of the serum to give to somebody who has Ebola and maybe they're O positive, wouldn't that cut down the amount of time that you would have to make serums, process the serums, and make them compatible for everybody if you had them from the antibodies from like O positive donor? That way you could literally keep it in the blood that it was in and wouldn't have to worry about, you know, compatibility issues. The second I talked about it, he whipped out his cell phone and he started calling doctors talking about blood types. And I'm going, nice. Wow, you know, that I didn't realize I had thought of something he hadn't. I was just, you know, bringing my limited knowledge into the conversation to wonder whether or not that's something that doctors consider or do they have a process where they don't have to worry about that. And later on, he and I did talk extensively about that, and it turns out that in the medical field, they do have a process where they can strip the antibodies and whatnot out of the blood and then make a serum out of it so that it's compatible with all blood types. But it is he did say that if you can get it in to like an O-positive or O-negative blood type, there's less work to do. And I don't know if my comment actually helped, but it's a possibility, and that's where science comes into play. You know,
damn.
If somebody else was all against science and knowing stuff like that, like the Mormons refuse, the hardcore Mormons, or is it the Jehovah's Witnesses?
It's the JWs, but, I think.
Yes,
if you go with the Jehovah's blood transfusion,
yeah.
It's the JWs.
You can't go with the that's it. The JWs, you can't have the blood transfusions. And many of them try to use the no blood transfusion to make it so that you can't vaccinate your child either, because some of those might be based on blood transfusion, you know, crap like that. So if I was a Jehovah's Witness who was very, very, very serious about my faith, even if I knew that knowledge, there's no way I would tell that doctor about it. And he might have not made those phone calls. Now, I don't know if those phone calls will ever help anybody. But if there's even the slightest chance that they did, that's awesome. You know, I'm not going to take credit for that if it comes out that, you know, if it makes the news that, hey, doctor found a way to decrease the amount of time it takes to make the Ebola virus serum by finding O-positive, O-negative patients on the recommendation of some guy he met at a pool park. I am not going to go knocking on the press's door and say, hey, that was me. I don't care.
That sounded.
I just care that people are getting cured and they're feeling better. That's all that
matters. Kind of fun if he actually tracked you down, knocked on your door, and said, thank you.
Well, he only knows my first name, so it's pie in the sky. I doubt that would ever happen.
Well, I know. It's pie in the sky, but at the same time, it would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, very
well,
much so.
I really wouldn't want. I wouldn't want the news media to pick up on something like that. I would rather them just focus on the fact that this, the potential cure the delivery and reproduction and delivery out to patients was increased, the time frame. That's all that I would care about. You know, a win for science in that respect. It's not about me. But
and think about it.
I am I'm pointing me out as the example, not to brag, but to point out the difference between a scientifically literate background versus a religious background. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about, you know, blood types or phenotypes or any of that other shit. It doesn't talk about that. It talks about the spiritual nature of how you should be happy and things that you should eat and people who you should have sex with or kill. Or not both.
Not to mention cutting off the tip of your penis.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You
know. Oh, and then sucking off the baby of whose penis you just cut the tip off.
Well, wait a second. We're going to hit that one, so to speak, in a little bit. Don't worry. But
my point is that I brought this up on Facebook. And somebody actually responded to it in a positive manner. And I know this person to actually have been or to be a Sunday school Bible passage teacher. Turns out that this person that I know, the husband and wife team, when they teach the entire Bible as a story to learn by. Not as the de facto absolute word of a divine being inspiring men to write a book. More of, analogies, stories, things like that. Like the, because I asked him, I said, hey, dude, you know, if you teach this stuff, tell me, why the heck would the son of a all-powerful deity curse a tree that for not bearing fruit in a time when it wasn't supposed to be bearing fruit? And he said to me without skipping a beat, and he says, because it's, I think the word I'm looking for is analogy, or metaphor for the people who were supposed to be preaching the faith, but were preaching it in a manner that benefited them and not the people that they were preaching to. Kind of like the moneylenders. And kind of like our current clergy in most churches.
Okay. How in the name of all things fuck do you get that from a fig tree?
Well, the idea is that the fig tree are the supposed priests and pastors or whatever they're supposed to be at that time frame. They're supposed to be teaching the flock the word of God, hence the fruit. But because they're teaching it incorrectly, there is no fruit to bear. And therefore, Jesus cursed those men that saying that since you do not bear fruit, you will never again bear fruit. Meaning, no matter how much you change your mind and teach the actual truth of God, you will never be able to teach again.
Oh, yes, okay. According to
Star Trek, I get that. But
and according to Star Trek II, our modern ways of doing things are better and far more superior. And that's why we should kill everything that's from 100, 200, 300 years ago and never use it again in a big fiery conflagration in space. It works just well that way. Sorry, yeah. Don, go ahead.
No, just all I can think of is that to go from a story of a fig tree to arrive to that sort of a complex conclusion, that is a Herculean amount of acrobatics.
That's the thing I was actually going to address, Dallin. You got to remember, the metaphor, as it originally probably was written, probably made more sense, especially given the time that it was written. But we're also looking at 2,000 years of revision and editing that has probably simplified it down to the point where it's so watered down and just, you know, cram it in there.
It made more sense. The other thing is, reading it in the original language probably makes more sense to that time frame as well.
Yeah.
But the point is that they're saying that unlike all the rest saying, oh no, it's the absolute word of God, you know, they're saying, no, the book is filled with metaphors and stories and songs and things like that.
Word of God. Then what the hell was the Council of Nicaea about?
I have no idea. I didn't ask them.
I think the Council of Nicaea, that was just their way of saying, okay, how can we produce a book that makes this whole thing go the way we want it to.
There's a lot of contradictions with religion.
Isn't that the King James Version?
I mean, on top of that, on top of the whole, oh, the Bible's the word of God, and yet it's been rewritten time and time again by, you know, men. And I use that word specifically, men, and not human beings,
yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
Men in power, mind you. But also, you know, the idea of, you know, God's all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he's got this great divine plan, and every little thing down to the nanosecond has been laid out in this plan. And then there's prayer. You're asking God for something. You're asking God to change his plan. Who the fuck are you?
And you know, that's a good point. That is a very good point. If this is all part of the divine plan, then what use is prayer? I
mean, exactly. If he's just going to do whatever the fuck he wants to anyway, what use is prayer?
It's like screaming at a TV. They're not going to hear you. And it's going to play out the same way every time.
It's like the stupid... pardon the language. Oh, wait, this is Power Tento. Fuck that. It's like the stupid bimbo who's sitting behind me in the theater while I'm trying to watch a scary movie, shouting, "Don't go in there! Don't go in there, girl! You don't want to go in there! Shut the fuck up! She can't hear you!"
Now, before we've gotten too far off of what we were talking about, which was Ebola, so I guess we kind of have. First off, of course, those of you that have made it to the first hour, congratulations. Thank you very much. And if you are still watching this live, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system. We've got a number of them that have come through. We're going to hit a bunch of these right now, as a matter of fact. We are going to end up talking about a couple more things, and if you end up a little ticked off at us at the end of this night, good. That's kind of the idea.
Mission accomplished.
Exactly. Chris saying, they're saying that this new strain looks to be engineered. I have not heard one way or the other on this thing. However,
I did find...
Hold on. As I've understood, viruses have a very large propensity for change very quickly in a lot of ways. Mutation is exactly right, the right word for it.
The difference between
it's just the difference between a virus compared to, say, bacteria or, you know, cells from a multicellular organism is that their genetic material in a virus does not have a nucleus. It's not protected. It's constantly exposed, constantly changing, and any time that it uses a living cell to replicate itself, there's changes that take place.
Yeah.
It's like a photocopier. Not everything, you know, you go to photocopy something, it's not going to be exactly as it was as the original.
Yes, so is there the possibility that this has been a specifically engineered body? It's certainly possible. It is very possible. Is it also possible that it may have been a mutation that just kind of happened? It's possible, but again, I don't know what's been going on. So,
whether or not we know.
Yeah, there's unfortunately that possibility too. There are typical genetic markers that are put into engineered viruses. Fuck. English. I have a hard time with it. And you know what, Jake? Don't get on me. I mean, we share this, okay, almost the same language. Bugger all.
Yeah, he's actually closer to me than he is to you, because I still spell armor with O-U.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah, so do I, et cetera, et cetera.
It's pissed off my teacher since, like, fifth grade. You know, fuck him, I don't care. Yeah. Whatever.
To further this whole point, though, I did do a little bit of looking when I saw the question first pop up. Most of what I can find in terms of claims that this particular version of Ebola is, in fact, some kind of a weapon or somehow engineered, I really do question the credibility of the sites, because a lot of the headlines are things about... It's... Okay, I'll say it. They look to me like conspiracy theory websites.
Yeah, which would not surprise me in the least.
No,
I mean, at this early on, I would find it exceedingly hard to think that any kind of genetic testing has been done yet to try and figure out what it is. Last I knew, that took, if you're lucky, 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, and the cynical part of me, and I'm going to use the word cynical properly here.
Go ahead.
the cynical part of me is basically thinking that even if it turns out that it was somehow engineered by some whack nut to do something, that particular nugget of truth will not come out until we are, the lot of us, in the ground. We won't see this for decades.
That brings up another thing. Good example, as far as this is concerned, smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
Smallpox, the variola virus, was certified as eradicated in December of 79.
Wait a minute. Make sure we're talking about this correctly.
In the
wild.
Well, yeah. As far as the global scale goes, it was certified as eradicated. The last two stocks of the virus, mm-hmm. all others had either been destroyed or been passed to one of two locations. One is in the United States. One is in the Russian Federation. So if ever there's a breakout of something like smallpox, very narrow choices of who to blame.
That's true. There is, however, more and more and more ability for high school level to be able to engineer new forms of life, genetic material, et cetera, et cetera. So in the future, we will have to wait and see a good portion of this, so we'll see what happens. A couple of items also. Chris, that the Bible has been edited 22 major times. I don't doubt that. I don't remember what the actual number is, but yeah. The fact that it's been edited even once is enough for me to go ahead and say, you know what, why should I fucking trust any of that shit? And most people who look at it all and say, why should it need an editor? Oh, maybe it was Perry White. He needed to talk about that one later. Jake, by the way, also saying...
You did not just go there.
I did, most assuredly so. Jake saying, by the way, Tech, it's okay. He's going to take the credit for the idea of the...
Honestly, you know what?
The doctor, that is.
It doesn't really matter a damn to me. As long as they continue to work on the cure and continue to cure people, I mean, you know, the guy and I had a wonderful conversation. I wouldn't mind meeting him passing again and finding out how that worked out for him, but I'm not going to expect it to happen. And if I do see him around, I'm not going to actively seek him out. You know, really, if he remembers me and says, hey, you know, we talked and your idea worked out great. And it's like, hey, thanks, you know, no problem.
So
but I'm not going to go bug him to find out what happened.
So basically, when the Nobel Prize in chemistry comes down for him, you'll ask to dust it every once in a while, right?
What?
Never mind.
Honestly, I don't care if the guy wins an award or what. I just care that the cure it gets into effect. And here's the thing. Supposedly, we have like six different versions of Ebola.
Tech, here's you, and here's the joke.
Neil!
Hey, Rick!
No, Peanut. Neil.
Yeah. When he made that famous, he was like calling out to somebody in the crowd, hey, Rick! Neil!
The joke wouldn't go over my head. My reflexes are too good. I'd catch it.
You're too short. It would fly miles over your head.
Oh, now we're going to do height jokes.
Oh, you're not allowed to call anybody short, you fucking giant.
You know, when you're standing 2 meters tall, you know what? Fuck you. Just fuck all the fuck of you right now. All right.
You know what? according to Brantley... this is more in the article over here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, according to Brantley, Red Bull, is that how you pronounce it, Red Bull?
No, it's pronounced Red Bull. Drink it.
W-R-I-T-E-B-O-L is the last name of the lady who received the vaccination.
Uh-huh.
As well. Apparently, according to Dr. Brantley, she told him to speak on her behalf to the public and express gratitude for prayer on her behalf. When she walked out of the room, all she could say was, to God be the glory, Brantley recalled. Well, okay. Now, first off, this is coming from the guy who was praising God to begin with. And as to whether or not it's true, it doesn't say it was verified that the press talked to her and verified that she did indeed tell him to say that. Okay? If that is the case, though, then she needs to go fuck herself, too.
And if not, Ms. Wright Bull, I know you're watching sometime in the future. Please track this other idiot down and slap him hard for daring to say something like that.
The pessimist in me sees it as a high probability that it was indeed said, for the simple reason that they were doing missionary work.
That's still fucking annoying. I understand that there are people who are religious. There will probably always be people who are religious, unfortunately. And I know that trained scientists of some bend or other, the percentage of those who are religious is significantly lower. It's basically inverted to what it is in the general populace, as I remember. But for fuck's sake, really? If your God was so grandiose and wonderful, I called up over to Cash on Atheist on Air recently, and I used this one. If the great programmer in the sky who has the ultimate Konami code could use it, why document every mistake ever? If your great grand wizard up there in the sky, who's got the big pointy white hat, I'm sorry, there's racial things going on here in the U.S. If your great grand wizard could be so great, why were you sick in the first place?
See, I liken it to this, okay? The way Christianity works is that God is your father, or your mother, depending on whether or not you have an extremist feminist viewpoint or whatever the case you want to be. I just pissed off the feminist group. I don't care. I've been standing up for women's rights. You know what? Go fuck yourself. Because that's your right. You know, there's a toy shop down the street. Have a good time. You know, actually learn what having a good time is and stop being angry all the time. There are men fighting for your rights as well. You just refuse to see them. And I'm talking to the extremists, not the regular ones. Anyway, that aside, God's my father, and he tells me that he made me, and he can choose to punish me whenever he wants. He can choose to end my life anytime he wants. And that no matter what I do in life, he will constantly be judging me. He will never die and always be overlooking every little thing I do. And he could read my thoughts. And if he doesn't like my thoughts, he will punish me for it. Then one day he decides that I need to be punished and beats me within an inch of my life to the point of where I am literally on the verge of death. Then nurses me back to health and then says to me, "Listen, I am very benevolent. You must believe this because I didn't kill you. This is how much I love you. I beat you within an inch of your life, and then I nursed you back to health. You should love me more." Excuse me? Holy shit.
I believe the term that you're looking for is Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Every Christian who firmly believes in the faith, okay, actually anybody who believes in an Abrahamic God, deity, okay, and that goes for the Muslims, that goes for the Jews too, okay? You have Stockholm Syndrome. You love something which is, according to your own texts, abusive. These behaviors that you see of your deity written in a book, okay, we prosecute people who behave like that. We throw them in jail, okay? We throw them in rehab, electroshock therapy, medications. This is not a behavior of a divine being. It's the behavior of a neurotic schizophrenic with a Napoleonic complex.
who's also happens to be a sadist.
Got another height joke? Jeez.
Actually, I was going to go with having a god complex, but okay, sure, you want to go with that one, that's fine too.
Well, no, I mean, Napoleon, you know.
Yeah, I know.
The point is that until you, as a believer, realize that you are being lied to, that you are being told that every time you start to pull away, stray from their thought processes and start thinking for yourself, that you know, a depressive cloud that hangs over your head is just a bag of lies. Until you start to see that, you cannot listen to us and expect to understand our viewpoint. You have to break out of their thought processes before you can start being free. True freedom. The freedom to truly love people. The freedom to truly go out and act upon your desire to help people. When you go, oh, that person over there needs help, I will pray for them on Sunday while I get into my best suit possible and do up my hair and everything else so that people think I look good and that I'm rich. No. If they need help, go help them. Get off your high horse. Go help them. Even if it's just go and buy them a dollar burger from McDonald's, do it.
You know, it's funny you should say get on a high horse. Does anybody want us to put a button on this one? Because I want to go ahead and drop the big one. Anybody?
Yeah, Bob?
No.
Mr. Tribble, the word is given.
Now, I said at the top of this whole thing that if we don't piss you off, we haven't done our job. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to piss off a lot of people. A lot of people. There is a thing where some people have said, and I told you, this is not safe for work, and I am going to get a lot of weird questions, and I'm going to get a lot of people who are going to be pissed off at me really, really hard.
You're going to get a lot of people very, very hard?
So hard. So hard. Yes. There are some people who will equate child abuse with artistic depictions of child abuse, that the two are synonymous. I don't agree. You people need to shut the absolute fuck up. If you want to go ahead and say, over in Japan, where they've got all this lolicon stuff, is completely and totally illegal because it means that it's a gateway drug to people actually molesting children, you're out of your fucking mind. Why? Because I like to watch Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger and Hellraiser doesn't mean I'm going to become a goddamn mass murderer. Somebody who has a whole bunch of movies about World War II is not going to go out, steal a tank, and blow people the fuck up. People who want to go ahead and say that art imitates life and back and forth and say that you're going to go ahead and do something illegal because it's illegal in life, but drawing it is the same thing as the real thing. Yeah, if I go ahead and take a piece of paper and draw a kid with being curb stomped and hand it to a police officer and say, I'd like to turn myself in, please, sir, because I killed this little doodle that I did with Crayola, they're going to throw me away into the psych ward because why are you talking to a police officer? Oh, I'm sorry. That's a whole other thing that's going on right now here in the U.S. I'm sorry. Guys in Missouri, I'm sorry. We lost you, didn't we? I'm sorry. Am I the only one who is sick and tired of hearing the bullshit about just because it's art, meaning it's actually drawn and doesn't exist, means that it is illegal because it could be the same thing in real life? Anybody know the stuff I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, because here's the thing. Playing Surgeon Simulator does not make me a doctor, okay? In fact, if that was the prerequisite to being a doctor, I would never, ever go see a fucking doctor, okay? Yeah. That game is sick, but it's fun.
The same way that playing Five Nights at Freddy's does not make you a knight security officer.
And also that playing Call of Duty does not make you a serial killer, and drawing depictions of galaxies described by astronomers who have not yet visually seen the layout of the galaxy but has instead only measured certain aspects of it makes the galaxy look exactly like that.
No, but it would be damn cool.
That's true. It would be cool because we have some really freaking cool artist depictions of black holes.
You know, the crazy thing is, to me, the one that still resonates most with me is the one that was in the first in the Disney movie.
Oh God, yeah!
Like to me, that was the one.
The black hole, dude.
What movie?
The black hole.
The black hole.
That's what it was called. A very old movie.
People watching this who have never seen it, throw the science aspect of it out the window.
There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen.
Enjoy it. Just enjoy it as a Disney movie that actually has some murder in it, but enjoy it for the entertainment value. It has a wonderful storyline. Granted, we know a lot more about science of black holes than we do today than when the movie was made, but it's still a fun movie to watch.
You know, the funny thing was I had to do, when I was at university, the same one where this horse whisperer bullshit's going on. I took an astronomy course. And this is why that article hurt me so much, is because I went to my first observatory at that college. I saw my first planet at that college. I looked at Saturn. I saw Titan. I saw a binary star system that, to the naked eye, a single star. When you look at it through the telescope, you could see distinctly one yellow, one blue. That, my brain was smoking by the end of the night.
Yeah, that sounds like it was probably Sirius, I think.
I've never seen that particular Disney movie, though there is one Disney movie that I feel is terribly underrated. I'm hoping I'm not the only one here that has seen it.
Mm. Hey, Joe, do you want to build a snowman?
No, not that one.
No, you cannot rate that one low enough.
No. The one
I'm going to trank you and shave your beard.
The one that I'm actually talking about is one from 1985 titled The Black Cauldron.
Actually, it's on my to-do list. I do want to go see it.
It's worth it.
No, at first, when he said Black Cauldron, my first thought was, oh, Dark Crystal. No, wrong one.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Dallin, you will not touch the beard. You can go shave Canham and stop insulting Wolverine with the Amish Wolverine look, but you will not touch mine.
Thank you. I was wondering how long it was going to take us to get to it this
way. Or I will break every single one of your fingers off and shove them up your nose.
I'm pretty sure that there's no way I could trank Canham with a trank gun because I would just want to shoot him with something else. And we probably just got flagged by the NSA for my saying that.
Yeah, too late. You're already flagged just because I'm here.
Yeah.
Excuse me, NSA. No, he didn't want. He was not implying using real bullets. He was implying using airsoft pellets because they leave really big bruises and they hurt like a bitch.
Thinking paintballs because he'd look even worse afterwards. The welts are so much bigger.
I have to say,
only if you freeze them.
Unless you have a really, really powerful airsoft rifle, airsoft really ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Paintball, on the other hand,
exactly.
That's gas powered right there. And we're
I used to play paintball up in the Poconos. I love that stuff. I used to get pockmarked up and left and right, but it was still great.
A guy I work with. He actually is. He runs a paintball league in his spare time. He came in one Monday, and he's wearing a T-shirt. And I look, and right here, you probably can't see this on the camera, but like right there, there was something like a welt about the size of a paintball. It took almost a month for that thing to heal up. Like, he got smacked. It's really like he had his hands up and somebody shot his arm.
See,
it's really great when you get the one like this, and the center is that yellowish purple, and then you have the blossoming red ring all around it, making it look
Oh, yeah, like I'll tell you. Like that,
I've had several of those.
Yeah, that little arm injury looked like something
I've had those up and down my back before.
Yeah.
You think those are bad?
Well, what he saw looked like you could post it on FetLife.
Hold on. You think those are bad? Mm-hmm. There was, once upon a time, a project in the military for training purposes where they used ammunition that, rather than having the standard copper jacket lead ball,
rubber
ball being a term of for bullets, it means it's that it's solid lead inside with the copper jacket. It's not shaped like a ball anymore. but there was a time where the military was experimenting with ammunition that instead of the ball, it had a little packet, a dense little packet of paint. And the idea was, you know, it was just like paintball, except, you know, with a normal functioning gun. Ugh. Now, they had tried this. And there's a reason why now we use what's called the Miles gear, which is essentially a vest of sensors. And what you do is you load your weapon with blanks and a special adapter that has a laser on it, so that when you fire the blank, it triggers the laser. It fires the laser, you know, in the direction from the gun barrel, and you know the little vest that whoever's wearing that you're shooting at will detect whether or not there's a hit. The reason why we went all the trouble of using those instead was because, well, these little pellets had to be designed to withstand being fired from a gun. They had to withstand the heat, the pressure, the immense forces at work on them inside of a functioning firearm.
I know where this is going.
When this pellet hit the target, it didn't necessarily work as planned.
Nope.
Yeah.
I know where this is going.
Well, Joe, true or false? Humor me on this, because again, I'm not that. When it comes to guns, I speak one language, dumbass. The AR-15/M16 fires a round that is faster than sound, correct?
Yes.
It is a supersonic round.
In fact, as MythBusters has already proved for us, the idea of jumping into water when you're being shot at isn't actually a bad idea if they're armed with supersonic weapons such as assault rifles like the AR-15 and such, because when those rounds hit the water, after about a quarter to a half a foot of penetration, the stresses of hitting the water actually rips the round apart.
Okay. So, to sort of exacerbate the point here, so now you have a paint pellet that is now being accelerated to Mach 1.
Now, granted, the gunpowder charge behind these wasn't quite full strength, but still.
Yeah.
Well, there's a piece of this. Were these or were these not still copper jacket covered?
No. Goodness, no.
Well, shit, never mind then.
Yeah, but the fact is, it's still being shot out of a weapon that is normally designed to shoot rounds at supersonic speed.
The idea was that the actual pellet was more or less like some .22 caliber cartridges that you get from Walmart or whatever. They don't actually fit inside the barrel perfectly. In fact, and they do have some of them do have the copper jacket, but if you ever touch it, you'll notice that there's a very waxy surface to it, and that's because it does have wax over top of the over top of the bullet itself, not the cartridge, the bullet, so that, you know, even though the bullet might not perfectly fit the barrel, the wax around it kind of grips the inside of the barrel. Problem with that is that pretty much takes the idea of accuracy and throws it completely out the window. Don't work quite well.
Yes, and of course, as we've seen, guns that use lasers instead are far more accurate, unless they're produced by the lowest bidder, which means don't be on that
giant spaceship when the kid is coming through, closing his eyes to blow you up with a real lucky shot, I guess.
Actually, I think more of the Death Star scene where they're shooting just before they go into the trash compactor. If you watch the guns very closely, yeah, the beam is kind of coming out of about four or five different places inside about a small 1 centimeter thing. I truly believe when Kenobi said not as clumsy or as random as a blaster, I think that's what he was getting at. It's like, yeah, you can rip a whole clip. You ain't going to hit nothing, but you can rip a whole clip.
Just remember to watch your head.
Oh, and a quick statement to Ms. Fempaws over here. Yeah, I've been reading the whiteboard since inception.
Okay, real quick, what is the whiteboard?
The whiteboard is a webcomic created by a guy called Doc, who used to literally draw on a whiteboard and then take pictures of it and post it on the internet. And now he does instead draws it directly to his computer and posts it on the internet. So it's the-whiteboard.com. And it's hilarious because the Doc actually works as a paintball marker machinist. He's an engineer. And he does everything in a furry nature. So he's like this big white bear. And it's just, it's incredibly funny. You've got to start at the beginning and just work your way through. Because when, you know, at one point they did a strip where the whole place blew up because they were trying to use the gas from cans of Mountain Dew as the compression propellant for a new paintball system, and the whole thing blew up. And the one guy's telling him, you know, I told you it was too powerful to use. And the other guy's going, shut up and help me find my nose. I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, we're talking about Doc building a Gatling gun paintball system where they had to figure out how to bend the tubes so that the balls didn't go spinning willy-nilly, that they could actually direct it to where they wanted it to go.
Okay.
It's just...
And apparently they've actually solved that problem now, too. I've seen footage of a paintball rotary cannon, and it scares the hell out of me.
Okay, if I send it back with a refund, give you a new one, erase the website, burn the shop down, shave my head, and move to Tibet, then would you be satisfied?
No.
No.
You think the rotaries are bad? There are such things as paintball tanks.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, there is over in England an entire event dedicated to sort of reenacting certain parts of Normandy using paintball arsenals, and they get inventive.
Dude, I saw a paintball system that was designed that would launch a rocket that would fire up and go up and over and down, and when it connected to the ground, it's basically firing an RPG of sorts. It's like an M203 kind of setup. So it's firing what's akin to a grenade. This system, mind you, that's firing has compressed gas inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's launching, and when it connects with the ground or an object, the impact causes the gas to release, which in turn, this system has all these holes all the way around that is just packed with all these miniature paintballs. And upon impact, they all release, and you have like 7 coming out of this tube, 7 coming out of this tube, 7 coming out of this tube, and it's just all over the place.
Allow me to show you exactly what I'm talking about here. As seen here...
I would love to fire that on the Westboro Baptist Church,
this,
by the way.
This
that would be
is,
a good time.
This is an example of the typical little tank you'll see. Tiny little, you know, go-kart ATVs with, you know, large caliber paintball guns in them. Cool. This is generally what you'll see. And then you'll see that.
Hold on, my slopes.
Which pretty much means it shoots at you, and the next thing you see is darkness.
That is a plywood replica. That is a plywood replica of a Panther tank on a pickup truck chassis.
We don't have the picture.
It didn't come through.
Yeah. Oh, one second.
I have no pictures.
One moment. Let me fix that. There we go. This is from the reenactment of the Battle of Kursk.
Does anybody else have the A-Team's theme song going through their head when they see the damn thing?
Mr. T would be proud.
That is an almost... That is not quite a full-scale replica of a Panther Mark V tank.
You know,
Purdue's not wearing body armor.
when Workshops designed an actual Warthog on the basis of a Nissan Pathfinder, I thought that was sort of the be-all, end-all of makeovers, but this one kind of takes the cake.
That's something. Oh, dude, that can you imagine being out in, like, the Poconos on the side of a mountain where you've got, like, acres and acres of just this wonderful terrain used for paintball, and all of a sudden you go, what's that sound? I don't know. What the... Tank!
All I can say is I don't care how many times you have seen, you know, redneck Americans putting something together in their backyard or seen Canadians on the Red Green Show putting something together. The Brits take the cake as far as backyard projects go.
I think they are the ones who kind of taught us, and we just didn't quite pick up the lessons perfectly.
And I think the best example of that would be if you go looking on YouTube for Top Gear Space Shuttle Robin.
Oh, God, no.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I hate Top Gear. I hate those people.
What, the Brit version?
Seriously? Yeah, the BBC version of it needs to die in a fire, because what happened was is they took the Tesla Model S out, and they were saying, oh, look, we're not getting the battery life that's advertised. What they failed to tell the public during that episode was that they had already been running it for like half of its capacity. So when it only showed on camera being able to perform at the half of the specified distance that you were supposed to get on a full charge, it was actually getting the full distance. They falsified information. The BBC is usually very good at shutting down shows or giving them a slap on the wrist when stuff like that happens, but they didn't. They didn't even give them a slap on the wrist. They didn't even publicly acknowledge it when several other magazines and newspaper articles came out and said, hey, you guys, you know, this is false. This is not true. And it wasn't the first time that they kind of falsified something about one of Tesla's vehicles. And then even later on with the electric car, they put in dubbed sound effects, engine sound effects, on an electric car that was making zero sound effects.
So it sounds to me like these guys have a massive hate boner for anything not gas-powered.
Yeah, well...
And they're getting away with it. I mean, the BBC is usually good about cracking down on stuff like that, and they're not. And that's what bothers me.
I be that one way or the other, I can at least forgive them. I personally have to forgive them because they gave me Christ on a bike.
Dude, I saw Darth Vader on a freaking unicycle blowing flames out of a bagpipe. Forget Christ on a bike.
Don't,
okay?
don't
he
go
ain't
there,
got dude. Squat.
Eugene, I know what you're going to say, and don't go there. Bicycles and skateboards are two very different worlds, all right? Don't go there.
True enough. And with that, it is about that time.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, as
and
they say,
show is freaking fun as hell.
Yeah.
As the expression goes, hell doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Wisconsin it does. As the expression goes, all good things must come to an end. Mm. In this particular case, we got to go to sleep anyway, so whatever the hell the expression is. As always, thank you all for joining us this evening. In reverse order, Joe. Joe, good night. Thank you very much.
Good night. Was fun. And, oh, God, what have I just found? If anybody feels like looking up the aptly named Ferret Armored Car, somebody converted one of those, an actual armored car, for paintballing. I'm scared.
We'll have to go looking that one up.
Holy shit. Yeah, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Go looking. Tech, of course, as always, thank you, man.
Absolutely. And on a positive note, apparently the POTUS is working on a method to circumvent the Supreme Court of the United States decision, the Hobby Lobby case, so that the women who are negatively affected by that decision will end up still being able to receive contraceptives and the other things that they are now currently unable to receive thanks to SCOTUS's decision. So whether it gets through or not will all depend on, you know, a lot of other factors, but they're working. POTUS is working on it. You got to give some props, some acknowledgement that it's even happening, and whether or not it succeeds, we can all hope it succeeds and that logic wins out over enlightenment.
We shall see. Of course, Dallin.
Viva la resistance! Ingress!
pleasure to be here as always. Glad I actually made it out for Power of 10. I got to do this more often.
And we appreciate it. And of course, for all of you who made it to the end of the show, first off, wow, you really need to get out more often. Jesus, fuck you.
Why the fuck do people listen to us in the first place?
There's actually a good reason for that. Because we have found a niche. We don't go trying to tell you what to think about a question and what answer you should be taking from that. We take it all in and we say, we are lay people. We're bumfuck morons. All right, slightly above Cash and Atheists on Air. But we at least have opinions that come from diverse backgrounds. And sometimes we're going to piss each other off. Sometimes we're going to piss you off. Bottom line, we find it worthwhile to talk through and describe what we think about all these different things and try to come to a better understanding of everything in between. And if it turns out that we come to an agreement on what we think the answer should be, cool, great, fine. Sometimes we don't, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Like I said, for my piece, my big thing, I have a problem with people equating art, whether you think it's good art or bad art, is immaterial, but art with real life. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has charged Robert Englund with mass murder. Why? Simple. Because it's dumb. Are we going to go ahead and tell you that all the stuff that we've talked about is dumb? Hell no. Some of it is not really worth describing too far into it. And some of it we could probably go a hell of a lot further into it. For instance, why the fuck was the black hole even made in the first place? Really? Or the Beastmaster? Which, okay, Kodo and Podo are cute, so all right, fine, we'll give you that.
It's also based on a book.
Even so, we're just proud that you guys find something worthwhile what we do. I find it something to be proud for. And, yeah, we don't exactly go out and tell everybody about what we're doing. A lot of this is just word of mouth. And for those of you that have been helping out with that, thank you. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because we find it worthwhile for us. Honestly, and I've said this before, it is far more important that we get something out of it than you do. And the reason is because we will never just phone it in. We will never come here and just think, another fucking show. All right, fine. You know what? Roll the fucking camera, whatever. we find something worthwhile in it, you're along for the ride. And it is not to be insulting. It's because it's fun. And as the expression goes, you find something that you enjoy doing, you will never work a day in your life. Unfortunately, that doesn't equate out to all the stuff that we actually get money for. And that covers the last item over here for me. I need to make a public apology. And I'm going to do that right now because I keep forgetting from week to week to week. I need to make an apology specifically to Sam Mulvey over there at Ask an Atheist, because when he was on with us, I made reference to not setting up a Patreon, not setting up a PayPal, not accepting money for what we're doing, and implying accidentally that what we're doing is more pure because we are not taking money for it, as opposed to Ask an Atheist or any other groups. I need to publicly apologize to all of you guys who've been doing the good thing, who've been making your shows, and have been asking for money, because it's not that I think that we've got a more pure product. By and large, I don't think in those kinds of terms. I said it in the spirit of, we're not trying to make money on this kind of thing. Not because I think we have a more pure product, but because I can be fucked up the ass to even be bothered trying to figure out how to do that shit. I am not even going to be bothered. To use an expression, I couldn't be arsed to figure it out.
Well, not only that, but you actually have a job, and you're not trying to do this full-time and support yourself at the same time like many of them are doing. Like with Scathing Atheist, you know, you've got No Illusions, who's currently unemployed, but people want him not only to do the half-an-hour show, they want him to do a one-hour show. So with the amount of time, effort, and work that's involved, especially since they do everything post-production and they do a lot of finalization work and whatnot, and it's very, very time-consuming process, he realized he couldn't do a one-hour show and work at the same time. So there has to be a give and take there. And if the people that were requesting the one-hour show were serious, he said, well, fine. You know what? Here's the deal. I made a Patreon account. If you guys are really serious, if you can get up to this X amount of dollars, I can do a one-hour show. Because then I won't have to worry about going out and finding a job and finding the time to do the show at the same time. Right. And that doesn't make him less of a person for doing that. That's making him, that's enabling him to do the one-hour show. And I have to say, I love the one-hour show, which is why I give him money.
Yeah.
If I can break in here for a second about this whole thing, because we talked about it a bit yesterday, but I do want to clarify. I am not a huge fan of Gene Simmons as a person, but he did write something in one of his books that has stuck with me all this time. You have two things in your life. You have your job and your hobby. The idea is to do your job to make the money to do your hobby. But you keep working at your hobby until your hobby starts making you money. Then you can get rid of your job and go back to doing what you love. And people like Noah or Cash or anybody who has actually been able to monetize this kind of podcasting, vlogcasting, anything like that, you have all of my respect, because you are doing something that someday I want to be able to do. You notice in my title bar, it says writer. I'm trying, and I'm using the podcasting / DIY method of getting to that point. And eventually I want to be able to. I would love to be able to write full-time professionally and not, you know, get up at 4 o'clock every morning to get to work. And if some people were already hitting that, like Noah being able to do the 1 hour show and eventually getting Heath's butt over to Podunk, Georgia, which at that point, I'm thinking everybody in that town is going to have to start wearing a cup, but that's beside the point. If they get to that point where they are that self-sufficient for doing something they absolutely love and getting paid for it, shit, everybody should be striving for something like that. Like, that is an ideal. But the fact that, you know, we're not looking for that here, it's our path. We shouldn't be not we don't knock anybody else for taking a monetizing path because, hey, if you can do it, go for it. You got all my respect. Yep. I mean, shit, if we could pull a few bucks out of this thing, I'd be, well, shocked as hell to begin with.
you and me both.
You know, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. I think the most we could probably get is maybe $3 a show.
Yeah, well, unless we start, you know, like taking off our shirts and stuff, and if that happens, no offense to you three guys, but I'm out of here.
What, Joey? You don't want to see my scars?
I could show you some of mine, and I'm pretty sure mine would give you nightmares.
No, honestly, I don't have to do that because I have this just amazing beard that I can just constantly flaunt, and people, you know, so people would give me money just to see the beard. We could set up a special beard cam, a live feed of just my beard whenever I sit at the desk.
Oh dear God, that's gonna have to become a segment.
Speaking of
camera angles,
but tech, this is why this here, you see this? This is my receding hairline. Do you know why I have a receding hairline? From this.
Because you keep pulling the hair on your ass.
What?
Let it go.
I think I will. That's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down right now.
Whoa. We are not discussing holes.
No, we're not.
No. However, speaking of
we
rabbits,
totally the fuck are not.
However, speaking of rabbits, Bunny, we're sorry that you weren't able to make it. We hope that you are not terribly put out. And seeing as how the likelihood of you ever seeing this video is minuscule at best, really, next time you're gonna clock in, you're gonna clock out, and I'm gonna hold you to that one. In any case,
real quick, I must share this. Somebody on Facebook, just a friend of mine who tends to find these little nuggets of just amazing things. Somebody posted on Facebook with a picture of Walter, the puppet, from JeffDunham.com, with the words next to the picture of Walter saying, "So let me get this straight. Women wear fake hair, nails, lashes, contacts, buy fake tits, lips, ass, and get Botox, but want a real man?" Now just imagine all that in Walter's voice.
I believe Dusty said it best. Logic.
You know,
props to the Cult of Dusty.
Something tells me that's probably something that we should talk about again in a couple of weeks. What should people expect in a relationship? I mean, we did talk about marriage before, but I think just having a general talk about, you know, even getting to the relationship point, I think we should probably end up talking about sometime in the future.
Keep in mind to be careful when I, like, bat my head against the wall, because I keep forgetting these walls are, they're concrete.
These walls were made for standing, and your head is not. Think about that. Meantime, we need to get out of here.
Yes.
Guys, as always, thank you for sticking it out with us. Of course, if you'd like to see more of what's going on, please give some comments. If you'd like to join us, of course, by all means, you can subscribe. I don't normally make mention to that, but I should really at least see about that much. You can follow me over here on YouTube under the name Shujin Tribble. Follow me on G+ under the same name. Facebook, Twitter, it's all the same. If you'd like to send in some information to us, by all means, send it to me at shujintribble@gmail.com. Please put in the subject line, "Holy crap." And, of course, as you see on the line over here on the screen, if you'd like to send us a voicemail, please feel free to do so. Area code 859-HCTV-554. That's 859-4288-554. No, there's no good mnemonic for it other than HCTV. It's the best I could come up with. Google Voice, what are you going to do? Meantime, as I made mention, episode 31 next week is going to be August 31st. I'm going to try, this is the plan, I'm going to try to have my daughter on for at least part of the show to kind of talk about what it's like for someone growing up non-religious. I'm not going to say growing up atheist, because it could be growing up atheist, could be secular humanist, could be non-religious free thinker, whatever term you want to put to it. But someone who has grown up, well, without the trappings that religion has done, and it's a perspective that doesn't get used very often. So if she's up for it, if she is conscious for it, we'll see about that. Obviously, it's going to be really tough. I don't know that we're really going to be able to do it, but I will see what we can do. We'll work it from there. So to all of you, of course, as always, thank you for joining us. Have yourself a very safe weekend. We look forward to seeing you, sort of, in the near future. Happy birthday, little one. 12 years goes by in the blink of an eye from my side. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Tiny.
And of course, as always, after saying goodnight for all of you, I say goodnight to my lady, too. Because 9 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I dream of you. I hope you dream of me. Until next week, when we get together again, everyone.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.